We are on Shmuel Bet Perek Yud Daled, and since we're I'm not saying Kaddish for my father-in-law, so this is going to be an Ilui Nishmat Chaim Yisrael Ben Herschel Tzvi, and we'll be able to say Kaddish. We'll learn his memory, and as is good for Refuah Shleima for the entire planet. And let's. I will say, Liora at one point said, "Wow, this disease is really going viral." And then somebody stopped and realized, "Oh, that's what it means."
Yes.
She figured it out. But it's funny. For those who haven't been following along, we have finished the story of David and Bathsheba. He's had an affair with Bathsheba, murdered Bathsheba's husband, married Bathsheba. David had, David's firstborn son, Amnon, has raped his sister and then was murdered by the next in line for the throne, who's Avshalom. Avshalom at this point has run away to Avshalom's maternal grandfather, who's the king of Geshur in current day Syria, and has been in exile for 3 years. And we talked before about what David is doing about that. And basically the text, if you look back in the end of the previous parak, says, the end of parak Yudalad, it says, "Vatachal David HaMelech Letzeda Alav Shalom." And that's ambiguous. It can either mean David longed for Avshalom, wanted him back. He was now his oldest child, and yeah, you could maybe justify why he murdered his brother after what happened to his sister and all of that. Avshalom was the handsome one. He was beloved by all the people. He was the one who was on the cover of People magazine. He was the prince. On the other hand, you could read by Achal David, let's say Avshalom, was that David was planning, but was held back from going to war and trying to kill him. So Avshalom clearly was acting as though he was going to be the king, claiming that David was not doing the justice that was necessary in Amnon's case. And the idea that he would both love his son and want to kill him is a familiar feeling to all of us who have teenagers. Everyone's on mute, so I can't hear you laughing. I assume that joke worked.
Jenny, I'm seeing a word connection. In Lamed Vav, it's Kechaloto, and here's Techal. It's probably the same word, right?
Yeah, but probably from the word kol, from the root kol, but that's pretty generic. So l'chalot is to long a desire, to be completely obsessed with. So that's used l'chaloti nafshi in Tehillim a fair amount of time, number of times. We said that last time. So it could be v'tachal nefesh avi, that's Rashi, that he wanted to.
Yeah.
Or you can interpret as from the root of kale, to be held back. He could not. He went to, and let's say there means to go to war.
But in Lamed Vav, it means...
Chalto means at the end. Chalto ledaber, when he finished...
When he finished.
Finished talking. When Yonadav finished talking to David about how, don't worry, Avshalom didn't kill everybody, just Amnon.
Right. But could it here mean that David stopped wanting to reconcile?
Well, that's part of the ambiguity. It could mean that. That's what we talked about. That it is very ambiguous what David is feeling.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of it, we don't know what Avshalom is feeling. He's been in exile for 3 years now. At the end of this point, it says it's been 3 years at the end of the Pasuk Lamed Chet. And we'll see later that it's clear that Avshalom is not planning at this point to rebel against his father. He will in the next 2 years. But right now, he still expects to be welcomed back. He wants to be the crown prince. What he basically expects is that he will become the crown prince. He will run the country. David will retire. David at this point is 63 years old. 63, according to the Seder Olam. Avshalom is like 32. David should go play with his plans for the Beit HaMikdash. That's what David wants. Avshalom can run the country, and he will be king after David dies. No one takes Shlomo seriously at this point. Shlomo is 5 years old. I think everybody knows that David wants Shlomo to be a king. He is the Yedidiah, he's the beloved of God. He's the one who built Beit HaMikdash, but Avshalom at least doesn't take that part seriously. I mean, Avshalom is the kind of person, if God asked him, what do you want? You're king now. What do you want from life? He would say, I want to crush my enemies, see them driven before me, and hear the lamentation of the women. And nobody gets that quote at all. Ellie, you got it? No. Okay, it's from Conan. But Shlomo is the kind of person who, if God had asked him, what do you want now that you're going to be king, he would ask for wisdom. Which is just, from Avshalom's point of view, that's just pointless. We want the power. So Yoav, who is David's chief of staff, and his nephew, this is all one big family, really has the same attitude as Avshalom. He wants to bring Avshalom back because he loves David and wants David to be strong. But David needs an heir, and Avshalom's going to be the heir. So Yoav's got to figure out what he's going to do to get David and Avshalom to reconcile. And then so that's where we start, beginning of Perek Yudalev. Pasukah. I'm going to look in the Tanakh over here. Vayeda Yoav ben Tsuria ki lev hamelech al Avshalom. Yoav ben Tsuria is David's sister, knew that lev hamelech, that the king is thinking about Avshalom. Again, keeps that ambiguity. It's not clear what he's thinking, but he wants him. Yoav wants him back. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. So Yoav sends a message to Tekoa, and there are two Tekoas. One is south of Beit Lechem. One is in the north in Asher, in the Galil. We're going to assume that this is the one in the north. We'll see why. Vayikach misham isha chokhma. He goes there and he finds himself a wise woman. I guess that's how far he had to go. No, we'll talk about
it. Kenny, I'm not sure where we are.
I'm sorry, Perek Yudalad. If you're looking at the sources, it's source 15. Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Aleph.
We're in
Malachim Aleph and not Bet. We're in Shmuel Bet. Here we go. Can you see the screen up here? Here we go.
Okay, Yomri,
let's go back. Let's scroll down to source 15.
Okay.
Yeda Yodav ben Tsuria ki lev hamelech Avshalom. Yoav knew that the king was thinking about Avshalom. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. So Yoav sends to Tekoa. Vayikach misham isha chokhma. He gets from there a wise woman. Vayomer eleha hitablina. He tells her, act as though you're mourning. Lufishina big day evel, and wear mourning clothes. Please. Al tasuchi shemen. Don't anoint yourself. Don't put makeup on. Vayit ka isha ze yamim rabim mitabelet al amit. And you should appear like you've been mourning for a long time on the dead. Uvatel amelach. And you should go to the king, vidi barte loka devar hazeh, and go to the king and tell him these things. And Yoav told her what to do. I don't know how much detail he told her. She's an Isha Chachma, probably she can figure this out. But she
it's reminiscent of a Megillah.
The opposite.
Right? But Tevoel HaMelech, right. It is. It has that same sense of, okay, you're going to go to the king. You're going to beg for something.
Very good.
So that's where we talked about that a little bit last time. We're going to skip down to source 19 now, the next Psukim. So this is where we stopped last time. And we have now what I think is the longest actual conversation in Tanakh. It's between an Isha Chochma and David HaMelech. And presumably David HaMelech has office hours. People can come and petition him, just like we know with Shlomo and the dead baby. He has these hours. Moshe is standing, people are petitioning. So she is coming to him and petitioning him in front of his court. Batomar Isha Tukoit HaMelech. So the woman comes, this Tokoit woman comes and talks to the king. Batipola al peha, and falls on her face. Arza, batishachum, bows down. Batomer Hoshia HaMelech, and she says, please save me. O king, save me. Tabiyomala HaMelech Malach. So the king asks, what's going on? Okay, he's heard this 1,000 times. He's had a whole line going out the door of people saying, please save me, I need my taxes, whatever it was. Batomer, she says, Aval isha amana ani. The truth is that I am a widow. Vayomer ishi, and my husband is dead. L'shivchatech shnei banim. And your servant, that's me, had two children. V'nesu shneihem basadeh. And the two of them fought out in the field. V'imatzil b'nehem. And no one could stop the fight. No one to save them. V'yaku achad et achad. And one of them attacked the other one. Vayomer doto. And killed him. We got two brothers. One of them killed the other brother. We know, the readers, that this is a story. We know what she's talking about. She's talking about Amnon and Absalom, David's sons, one of whom killed the other one. Vine kama kol ha-mishpacha al-shifchate. So all of the family is all coming up against me, and all, they're all telling me, Vayomru tni et tamake achiv v'nimitehu, v'nefesh achiv. Give us this one brother, and we will kill him. We will act as the Goel Hadam, and we will have him killed, because he killed his brother, Asher Harag, for his brother that he killed, Nishmida Gam et Hayoresh. And we will wipe out also the inheritance. And as Malbim points out in source 20, that this is not, she's not claiming that the family said, we're going to wipe out your inheritance. She's adding that in.
So that's the inheritance, the inheritor.
Well, they're talking about that. Right. They will wipe out the inheritor. So that's what she says. They will extinguish my ember that I light. That you will wipe out my legacy and my husband's legacy in the world. So this is the way the Malbim understand that the one son is dead, we will kill the other inheritor. This is source 20. But clearly that this is not something the family, the rest of the family, like the husband's family said, we're going to wipe out all the heirs. They were trying to get vengeance. Because when there are only these two sons who are remain to inherit what their father had, one's dead. The next one will inherit everything. That's why the family, the woman's hinting is why the family wants to have him killed. Not because they want justice, but because they want to wipe out my inheritance and they're going to get all the money. Because they will inherit everything. Because they're the relatives of the dead man. So that's and the connection with the hint that David's supposed to get out of that is if he actually goes to war and kills Absalom, he will lose his legacy, his inheritance. David's focus is on his legacy. He wants to build the Beit Midash. It's got to be his heir who's going to build it. And if he goes to war against Absalom, it will all be lost and it'll be left to some other distant relative, maybe take over the kingdom. But David's legacy will be gone. At this point, she's just pouring out her story to David, this terrible thing that's happening. So the king tells the woman, go back home. And I will command about you. He's not committing to one way or the other. He has no idea what the story is. He's only heard one here. But at least we'll look into it. Don't you worry. So the Radak says he's going to protect her. That's source 21. I will command that your son will not be hurt. It's not clear that that's what he's going to do, because it may be that this one actually is a murderer and deserves to be put to death. So that's the Mesudat David's way of looking at it. Source 22. I will command about you. I will command some of my people. They'll look into it. We're not going to let it go into the Goel Hadam, just random family feuds. We're going to actually do this in the court, and we'll see in Mahometi talk. We'll see if the truth is with you. And the woman responds after David tells her that. I guess you have the new kudot here. Atomer Aisha Tekoit, El HaMelech, Alai Adoni HaMelech, and she tells him the sin and iniquity will be on me, and the king, his throne, are innocent and generally understood as being, as meaning that if I'm wrong, then the sin's on me. I'm not accusing you of anything, doing anything wrong. You do the right thing. And that's the Mitzvah David again, source 23. Ki'il Tamar, as she said, Yaminli, you should believe me. Miyot says, okay, you know, you should declare him that he's innocent. Don't tell me about it. Don't, please protect him right now. If you realize afterward that's not the truth, I'm not telling the truth, then the sin will be on my hands, because I have misled the king. So the king responds, king says, don't worry, nothing will happen while we're investigating. If there's anything to you, bring them to me, and they will not bother you at all. Don't worry. But tell me, so she answers me, a little bit edgy. So she's really taking a chance here, because at some point the king's going to say, off with her head, I don't want to deal with you anymore. But she says, I want you to swear, say the name of God. I want you to take a shavua that what you say is going to happen. Because there are so many of these goel adam, those who will take revenge and they will destroy everything. Make sure they don't kill my son. So he says, Chai Hashem. So he takes it out, oath. The life of God, not a hair on your son's head will fall. So that's where things are. David takes an oath, in the name of God, that he will protect this son and this story. So now the woman tells him. Verse 25, Pasuk Yud Bet. Vatomer ha'isha, tadaber na shivchatech el ani ha'melech davar. Now she tells him, can I tell you something? Vayomer dabri. And here's the point where I think David's getting really annoyed by this, all this nudging here. Like, he's already dealt with this problem, right? He's got people assigned to it. He doesn't have to deal with it. So he's saying, fine, keep talking.
Got to line up. What about that he didn't make the connection?
He has not made a connection yet. Okay. He is saying, this is a case. Okay, so it's a legal case. This happens all the time. I don't know what's going on. Right, I will command my people to look into it. We'll take care of it. Next. No, she wants to keep talking. But Tomar Isha, so the woman tells him, and says to him, "Lama chashavta kazot al amelokim? How could you believe that such a terrible thing would happen in this holy people of God? You really believe for a moment that there was a family who's going to kill the one brother? It never could happen." With the ber ham, that's the other way to translate this. Sorry, next page over here. And from what the king is talking about this thing, you are talking about that this terrible guilty thing happened, that you're going to look into what happened, that one brother killed the other one, and then everyone's going to kill that other brother and wipe out the inheritance. And you will not allow that the one that you've exiled back. Here she's telling him, this is about you. She's acting like another. This, you know, Atah Ha'ish. This is actually about you. You thought this terrible thing happened somewhere in Israel. This is your family, and you're proposing this. And that's what the Malbim says in verse 26. Lama chashat kazot al amel kim amralo. She's telling him, Ech alav machshavatcha. How could you possibly have thought? She's poor. How do you think that what I said was true? She'am Elohim, the holy nation. Am Elohim, the nation of God, would do such a terrible thing. It's unnatural. It's never going to happen. And it's midaber. You notice that. And from the king's talking, the ongoing, from the sense of and continuing speech. Where Rashi says, and if you're looking by Midbar, when Moshe goes into the Mishkan, it says, Moshe heard the voice, midaber, basically talking to itself. Hashem would speak and Moshe would hear it from the side. You're really talking about yourself here, O king, when you're judging this. Which it is, that you are guilty for not bringing back your exiled one. That we're talking about the king and your son. Saktino batsmo, and you are judging yourself. That you are guilty. You need to bring Avshalom back. If you go out and kill him, then you are these terrible families wiping out the legacy, and you will end up wiping out your own legacy if you kill Avshalom.
Hey, Ellie.
Hi.
Hey.
You look a little different than 40 years ago.
Was the first time you've seen him? They've been in St. Louis.
I haven't seen him.
Right. So she is acting basically as a Navia here. Just like Natan came to David and just gave him this whole story about the rich man, the poor man, and the sheep. And then said afterwards, after David decides what to do, he says, you're the man. She's going to him saying, you are the man. This is a story about you.
So Danny, as Ellie points out, this is I'm some, you know, someone with a hammer. Everything looks like a nail. Again, yeah. Megillah, right? Come on. What would you do to reward the person who does X?
Oh, I like that. That's very good. Okay, I didn't even think about that. Yes, that's very much the same thing. Where I'm thinking in terms of Shmuel that you know Yoav set this plan out because he knows it worked already with David. Mm-hmm. You know, this is that David's good at the judging third parties, but not necessarily seeing what's going on in his own life. Mm-hmm. So he's worked this out. Where am I over here? Okay, so she continues, and she gets very prophetic over here. Kimot namut. Kamayam and digarim arza asher lo yasko yasko. Because we all die. And right, that's what we say, that you're not going to bring Amnon back. That's, you know, we're all like water spilt on the ground and cannot be gathered up again.
Milk, spilt milk.
This is mine, right? We're not, but you can't cry over spilt milk. But that's what he's just saying, that you're not going to bring Amnon back again. The death is gone. You're not going to make anything better by killing Avshalom now. Below you say Elohim Nefesh, and God is not going to suffer a soul. Meaning that God can, if the justice needs to happen, God can take care of it. Don't worry about doing justice over here. You just need to keep your son alive. This is the Malbim continues, verse 27. Pirsh Elohim lo yichaper avon nefesh aron. That if you don't know what's just or not, you're not sure if Avshalom should be killed or not. You've spent these 3 years hemming and hawing about it. God will take care of if it's necessary. Yikabel anasho b'din shamayim, and let him be punished b'day shamayim. You should bring Avshalom back.
So Danny, I'm confused. This woman's going on, and we're supposed to believe Yoav told her to say all these things?
Well, it's not clear exactly how much Yoav is telling, how much she's a chokmah, how much she's figuring out. Yoav and she have planned this out. She's going to tell the story.
Okay.
She's going to. We know what David's going to say, and then she's going to confront David and say, "This is about you. You need to realize that you don't have to kill everybody to achieve justice. God can take care of the details."
And do we know who this person is, this woman is at all?
You know, she's an Isha Chachma Mitkal. We'll have to talk about that. That's an important question. She's obviously important. I mean, we're spending entire parak on this back and forth. I mean, nobody talks as much in Tanakh.
I know, that's what I was saying. I can't believe he broke this whole thing out for her.
Right. You know, normally you get one or two lines and then it's over. Like this is the beginning of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
She's talking about her sister, like, what's the point of a book that has no pictures or conversations? Tanakh's a picture book that has no pictures or conversations. We don't know what anything looks like. Nobody talks. But here she's talking. Clearly, this is important. So I got to figure this out. The Parshim don't really deal with that a whole lot. Okay, so she continues, right? That they, b'chashav machashavot. Over here. Okay, so. So God can plan everything out. He doesn't need to exile anybody. You can let him back in. If Hashem decides that this that he needs to be killed, he will be. That's foreshadowing the fact that two years later, he will be dead. He'll be hanging by his hair in a bush with the rest of his body cut off. We know that, right? It's not a surprise to anybody there. We know the story, right?
Yeah.
Batat. And now, she's continuing on telling the king, Asher bati ledaber amelach. Now, this, that I came to talk to the king, El melach adani, at the devar hazeh, and I spoke these things, this whole story, ki yir'uni ha'am, because the people all made me afraid. But I said, Adabran Nalamel. I decided I need to go tell this to the king because I see what happened. Everybody knows what happened to Avshalom. Everybody loves Avshalom. We need Avshalom back. And I wanted to tell you, you need to bring Avshalom back. And everyone, my friends, my neighbors said, you can't do that. He's never going to listen. So I made up the story. So I said, I'm going to go and tell him this whole story. Maybe the king will do what his maidservant has said. Kishma melech latzil amato mikafa ish lashmiyoti. Because I figure that you'll certainly decide to save me from these terrible forces that are going to destroy me and my family. That b'niya yachid minachlat elokim, and that you will certainly save me. So you'll hear my story that I just made up, and you'll judge to save me. Batomer shifchatech. So and then. Your maidservant, that's me, said, propose yina davar ni hamelch l'menucha, and that this, you should settle everything should be in peace. Ki kamalach elokim kein arani, because you are as wise as an angel of God. So she's got to make up the fact that David presumably is getting a little bit annoyed by this whole accusation thing from some complete total stranger, and he's still got the whole list. You know, some ladies telling him what's going on. It's like, who are you? So you're Kamalach Elokim. Kenani Hamelach, Lishmoa Tovara. You will listen to the good and the evil. Vashem Elokechi Imach, and God is with you. You are wonderful. So that is the Yishatakovitz second speech. That's when she tells him the truth. This is all about you. You need to forgive Av Shalom and deal with the fact that God will take care of the details. If he doesn't deserve death, don't kill him. You need to bring peace to the people. So this is the point that David realizes something is going on. And I assume at this point she's hoping that she doesn't get her head cut off and she's looking at Yoav on the side, assuming that she's still being protected here. Because she is really pushing her luck. So Vayan HaMelech, that's a good chet. Vayom Elisha. So the king announces, Vayan in this sense is not answering but saying out loud, like a Pesach Aniti B'Amarati. Vayomer HaMelech, Vayomer HaYishai tells the woman, Al na techadi mimeni davar. Don't hold back anything. Stop lying. Okay, I already know you lied once. I don't know what you're saying now. Hopefully it's true. Asher no chisho olotach. Wherever I'm going to ask you now. Vatomer HaYishai yidaber na Adoni HaMelech, please speak, I'll tell you the truth. Vayomer HaMelech, Hayad Yoav itach. Did Yoav put you up to this? Because on all of this, okay, I think you realize something's going on here. And I'm going to guess that Yoav has kind of been nudging him all this time. He's on a new development that Yoav wants Avshalom back. So he finally realizes, wait a minute. You were set up there. Batani Shah, Batomer, so the woman says out loud, Chayinav Shecha Adoni HaMelech, by the life of the king, Ish Lehemina Smil, Mikol Asher Diber Ani HaMelech, no one can swerve right or left from everything that the king says. You have the Chai Yoav, Hu Tzivani, because you're right. Yoav commanded me, Hu Sam Befi Shifchatech, according to Me'elan, he told me everything I should say. Lavavur Saveb Pnei Adavar, Asa Avdecha Yoav Adavar Zen, because he wanted to cause all of this. He wanted to turn things around. That's why Yoav did this. Vadani, and you, the king, my master, Chacham Chacham Chachmat Malach El Kim, and you are so smart, like an angel of God. Please don't kill me. Ladata kol sheba aretz, you know everything that happens in the world. You know, you have figured it out, you're right, Yoav put me up to this. Doesn't change the fact that it's still true.
Now, Yoav is loyal, right? He stays loyal.
Yes, I'm reading Yoav as being loyal, but always wrong. Yoav is the one who killed Avner. Yoav is his chief of staff, he's his general. Yoav solves problems by sticking a knife into the Tachat HaChomesh, and underneath the fifth rib, because once they're dead, they don't cause problems. That's Yoav's approach in everything that Yoav does. Now, Yoav will side with David in the rebellion against Absalom, but he will side with Adoniyahu after David dies.
Oh.
He wants the powerful, the strong. Yoav is David's enforcer. Loyal, but not necessarily right.
I see another reference to the Megillah in Yud-Chet that
Ayana Melchiomer.
I said that, and Ellie told me that I should read other parts of Tanakh.
No, that's fine. Given the chronology,
yeah.
I would read Esther in light of this.
Okay.
I think that would be a useful way of reading Esther. What does Esther do in the sense of we have this Isha Chachma who is told what to do, but ends up being the heroine of the story because she ends up being the one dominating the story. We don't see Mordechai has one line and then goes away, and it's all about Esther too. I think here the same thing, that you may have had Yoav pushing her, but she clearly is telling the story. She is the Isha Chachma. She is the one who's making this happen. So that's the story, and then we'll see. So eventually he's convinced, and Absalom comes back, and everything is awful and terrible until Absalom actually tries to kill his father. But she will convince David to bring Absalom back in peace. But we'll see that. Now we have to figure out what's going on. Why bring the whole story? Why do I care? Why not just say, and Yoav convinced David to bring Absalom back, and Absalom came back. So part of this is this lecture about justice. Okay, and she tells him, you don't have to do what's unjust just in case that he was really the murderer. You know, you don't know, did Amnon deserve it or not? You can leave this in hands of God. This is a theocracy. You can rely on God's approach. And that's really in source 29 is what the Chumash says about it. Midbar Sheker Tiachak, stay away from falsehood. Naki v'tzadik al tarog. Do not kill the innocent. Ki lo atzdik rasha. So God says, I will not allow the rasha to be justified to be acquitted. Err on the side of acquitting. Don't people put people to death? And that Hashem will deal with the final justice. The other side of that is this emphasis on where she comes from. She comes from Tekoa. Why does it keep saying, why is it emphasized? She's an Isha Chachma. She sends Tekoa. She's an Isha Chachma. She keeps calling the Isha Tekoit. She doesn't have a name. She's just the woman from Tekoa. So it comes up in the Mishnah that talks about Tekoa. Source 30 is Tekoa is Alpha L'Shemet. Tekoa is the best place where oil comes from. That's where you get olive oil from.
So is that the Tekoa that's near Hebron?
That's the Tekoa in the north. Tekoa in Asher. Okay? And I think that makes sense because, you know, if he hears the story about the one brother killing the other brother, and if it was a place south of Beth Lechem, I assume that we would have heard about it. It's his own tribe. This, if it's somebody far away, maybe he hasn't heard about the story. Now that would be a scandal. So I think it's reasonable there, but the Gemara certainly assumes that the Tekoa here, because this is the way the Gemara reads this. It looks at this story. Source 31. Go sends Tekoa and he finds a wise woman there. Maishna Tekoa, what's the difference? What's the point of Tekoa? Why do we care about Tekoa? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Since their diet, they have so much oil, they are really smart. Olive oil makes you smart. And Tanu Rabbanan, and says Tovel Bashem Raglo Zechel Kol Shel Asher, that Asher where Tekoa is the one that's rich in oil, olive oil. Shemoshech Shemen Kemayan, that the oil flows like water. Right, Chachma B'tuya Behen, and as the Rashi puts it in Source 32, that Shemen Zayit Mefakech Atalev, olive oil opens up the heart, makes you wise. I don't know why. Why does olive oil make you eating olive oil make you smarter?
Maybe that's a cardiology.
So that's the so this is an argument. I saw this an interesting argument that he's arguing exactly that in Source 33. This is from the Portal Dafyomi. You know, maybe we should take it literally. This is physiology here, not literary. Susie's looking a little skeptical over here, but we'll look over here. I learned all sorts of Hebrew words from reading this article, though.
H-C-L-L-D-L, wow, okay.
Yes, yes. Shemen HaZayat, this is source 33. Shemen HaZayat, Huba Avar, the olive oil in the past, Huba Tzot Achdot Adayom, and even today, HaMarkiv HaShmuni, HaIkari, B'Tafrit HaYam HaTichoni, which I think is the most important
cuisine.
I'm sorry? Markiv is ingredient, right?
It's the tafriya menu, but it's a Mediterranean diet.
Tafriya, yeah. In the Mediterranean diet. The most important fat in the Mediterranean diet. Shemin zo mufen bekach. This oil is unique in that shu mechil chamtzaot shomen chad bilti rav chait. That it has monosaturated. It's monounsaturated. Shomen chad bilti rav chait. Singularly not full. That's monounsaturated. Chomtzot is acid. Okay? Chomtzot shomen is fatty acid. Chad bilti merchit is monounsaturated fatty acid. The ikar chomtza'a oleit. It has oleic acid, which is omega 9. Okay? That's good for you.
That's good.
That's probably good, right? We should all get lots of our omega 9 fatty acids. And they have many tarchavot ingredients that oppose oxidation. They have antioxidants. That's antioxidant activity.
Wow.
Okay, so there you go. So olive oil is good for you.
Didi, what's the source?
This was the Portal Daf Yomi. So this is one of these Daf Yomi websites. If you actually go and click on it on the original, you can see the source on it. You have your source.
Modern,
of course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I was very impressed.
It's called the Portal Hadaf Yomi.
Okay.
Now, this is not the Gemara talking about money on Saturday, Friday.
Okay.
Chazal knew everything. I'll grant you that, but I wouldn't say that. So that's so maybe really you really had better brains because they had all these omega fatty acids, and still a yachas ben shnei sugi ha cholesterol between HDL and LDL, and so that it helps your, maybe it also helps your carotid arteries. Chashuv lakta marchata cardiovascularit. If you ever read Hebrew here, it's not only important for your cardiovascular health, but gam tafkid hamoach. It's also important for your brain. Yishum shanezek hamitzdaber, because the accumulated damage, chasimata or kim or karokikim, because the accumulated damage from blockage of the arteries and the arterioles, rolim dam lamoach, that bring blood to the brain, are one of the most important causes for senile dementia. Oh. That's what they're claiming here. So if you have a lot of olive oil, then you're going to be less likely to have dementia as you get older. I did not look for any sources here. I'm just reading this source idea about what this, he's looking to Tekoa because they have this olive oil. The Gemara says because they're wise in Tekoa. So a lack of olive oil may lead to an increase in dementia at younger ages. So perhaps you'll have realized that if he wants a wise old woman. So we're going to assume that I'm going to read it that way as more metaphoric. And that goes with the idea of being she's tikkoit, which I may push a little bit on the reasonableness, and read that not so much one from Tekoa, but one who blows a tekiya. He's a tekait. What does the tekiya mean? The shofar blast.
The shofar.
Right. But specifically, it has a specific meaning. There are two kinds of shofar blasts. There's a true and a tekiya.
Oh.
And they're different.
Yeah, I know one's a warning.
Right. So this is source 35, is the trumpets that Bnei Israel had in the wilderness, source 35. Shem tells Moshe, you need to make two silver trumpets, and beat in silver. They will be there to gather the people and to have the camps travel. So when you blow a tekiya on them, then the entire community will gather together in front of the Omoed. So whenever you want to gather people together, titka'u v'lo tariyu, you blow a tekiah, not a teruah. But when war comes, your enemies who oppress you, then you do a truah. So the truah is the alarm. And you will be remembered from God, and you'll be saved. And if you look through, I forget which Shofet and Sefer Shoftim, said that he blew a truah to call the people to war. Teruah is the alarm. Tekiah is the all clear. We had that earlier in Shmuel Bet when David is fighting the house of Shaul, and Yoav is fighting Avner, and the battle outside Gibeon in Source 36. Vetakai Yoav b'shofar, and when they finally make peace, Yoav blows a tekiah by Yamdu Kol Ha'am. Then the people stood, Lo Yirdfu Od Achar Yisrael, and they stopped chasing after the Israel of the Northern Kingdom. Lo Yisfu Od Lo Hilachem. We blow a tekiah in order to stop fighting. She's an Isha Tekoit.
Does it see a connection, or have you seen it somewhere? That
I did not see it. Okay, this is my idea.
That's very clever.
That she is what her chokmah is able to bring people together. She is causing peace here.
Peacemaker, yeah.
Right. She is trying to gather. It's vahakel ha'edah. You were bringing the people back together, okay? And that becomes that. That's why this is here, because it's so important, because this is part of the education of David HaMelech. We talked about that this section of Shmuel Bet from Bathsheba on is where David has to learn that, yes, it's all about building the Beit HaMikdash and serving Hashem, but it's not about him. Right? He's not the one who has to make it happen. He has to give up his dream of building the Beit HaMikdash in order to allow the Beit HaMikdash to happen. Right? He's been focused on that. Everything he's doing is Hashem Shem Shemayim. He's good, but this obsession has led to all the wars in Perachet. It's led to the famine that was hinted at in Perek Tet. It's led to the sin of Bathsheba in Perek Yud Nir Aleph. This is the point where he says, okay, this is not about me, and he will see this tshuva happen as the rebellion of Avshalom comes about, where David is willing to say, if it's not me, that's okay. Bnei Yisrael will need to survive. So that his job here is to become, as it were, the tikkoit. He needs to blow the tekiah, not the truah, and bring the people back together. Hmm. And we have this idea of chachmah, that we started the whole parak with Yonadav, who was the Ish Chacham.
Oh, right.
He was the one who told Amnon, you know, you have a crush on your sister. Why don't you get her alone in your room with these levivot, and then you can do whatever you want with her. So the Chachma there caused all the trouble, and now we kind of bring it to a close with this Ish Chachma, this wise woman who will bring everything back. So we kind of close the circle here with this Ish Chachma. And we're almost done, but I will now look at another, just introduce the idea of another Isha Chachma that's coming up later on. We don't have her name. Another one we don't have a name of. And this is coming much later, the end, Shmuel Bet Perachav. When after David's back on the throne, he's defeated Avshalom, everything's fine, and now he's got another rebellion of Shimi ben Gera. And this, he doesn't go to war at all. He sends Yoav out to fight the battle, and the rebel is holed up in a city called Avela Beit Macha, and Yoav is attacking to try to get this rebel back. Source 37. And the Israel army besieges the city of Avela Beit Macha. And they paved a road, a ramp, everyone trans solallah to the city, but Tamo Bachel and the army stood on the ramparts of the city. They're gonna attack the city. Kol Amasher at Yoav, Mashikim La Pilta Choma, and the entire army that's with Yoav is just itching to break the wall down, wipe them all out, because they are harboring this rebel. But Tikra Isha Chachma Menir, and a wise woman. It's a different city, it's not Tekoa, this is Avela Beit Macha, but it's also somewhere in the north, and she calls out. And says, Shimu Shimu Imrina El Yoav. Go call, go listen, Yoav. Krav ad hena badabra ilecha. Go listen to me. Bring it, listen to my words. You don't need to kill us all. Anochi shlumei emunei Yisrael. I am one of the wholehearted ones, one of the faithful of Israel. Tamei vakesh lamit ir. You want to wipe out the entire city. Ve'em b'Yisrael and a mother in Israel. Lama tepala nachal Hashem. Why do you want to wipe out the nachala? Very similar to what this other Isha Chachma was said. Her plan in the end is to say, just give me time, and she throws the head of the rebel over the wall. And Yoav says, that's good enough for me, and goes. So she saves the city by having him killed. But that's her Chachma. And we have to, well, I want to look at what that Chachma means, but I'm going to stop here. It is almost 10 o'clock, and I'm going to run out of my time. Any comments right now? I'm sorry?
Can you put quarters in the machine?
To keep going there. Well, at some point, okay, I worked last night. Okay, I need to get some sleep.
Okay.
We'll
try to appreciate
you, Danny. Not next week, because I am working actually from 7 o'clock next week. So 2 weeks. If everything's back to normal, we can still do this online too, even if we're back at Shul doing this together. But thank you very much. You should all be my
thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All
the, Nashim. Stay safe, man. Everybody should stay safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stay healthy. Social distancing.
Wear your mask and your whatever. Whatever you're wearing.
We have not hit by, I'm not wearing masks routinely.
No.
Permission not to do that unless there's a. Let's stop recording here. Let's stop recording.